Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week, where two old guys, and so I don't get a withering look and kind of like side glances of the rest of the podcast, one rather young lady talk about old games.
Did you have a private conversation? Nicole, did you have a private conversation with Tyler after that episode? You're like, hey, look, not cool.
Ruby Bear and Paul Kalula was like, I could hear that the look she gave you. I was like, yeah.
I'm impressed with my powers.
Well, this week, the five-star request, hitting the eventually list with Super Mario Sunshine.
Do you guys say who requested the games when we talk about them?
If we looked it up before the show, we did.
If we remember to look it up.
Okay, so it's a no, we don't know who requested this game.
We do, whatever their iTunes username is, which...
Which is what?
Normally, those are pretty crazy, so...
I mean, I can find out right now, and by right now, I mean, like, maybe halfway through Tyler's intro story, I can tell you who...
You can't search iTunes, so it's hard to go back and find the review.
Well, so thank you, whoever suggested this game.
I'm looking for you, don't worry. I'm looking for you. I'm going to find you. I'm not going to pay attention to Tyler at all during his story.
It's fine. It's cool. But first, I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and... I had a dream the other day. Slowly, I'm starting to like talk less and less about my sexual adventures because I've gone through a lot of them and talking more about weird-ass dreams that I have.
I've noticed.
Through all the drugs that I had to take to go to sleep, it gives me weird-ass dreams. So the other day, I have a dream where I'm in a very realistic space-themed romance sim. And you know, everyone's in like... the same color, like jumpsuit. It's the Star Trek sort of hallways, and on the ship, and we're exploring this. We're going to this new planet, but the goal really isn't science and space exploration. It's seducing the people inside the ship with you. So I had gotten to the point where I had reached, like, I had to make a decision. So I had reached like high romance, about to have sex level, simulated love with both the more sexually adventurous girl on the ship and the super shy girl on the ship. And I didn't know which one to go after.
Which one was an alien?
They're both human. They're both human.
Any aliens or just like... So it's pretty much just like Earth, but like with some science-y shit?
It could have been an airplane going from like LA to New York. It would have been the same thing. But I do remember like going out like at one point... to earn the affections of the shy girl, I had to go through a room that was open to space. And of course, I know. You can judge my subconscious all you want, 'cause it's gonna start making even less sense. So, but I remember I had to go through just the open room to space, and I got super cold. Oh, I was so cold walking through the vacuum space. It was like an exit door to another exit door just going through space. So I went there and I was super cold, and she thought it was very romantic that I was willing to get that cold for her to earn Shy Girl's love. So I don't know what decision to make, but we also had to go on like some final mission. So I save it and exit out to the normal screen of the video game. And Dave, you were also playing the game.
Oh, hi! I'm paying attention now for a minute. What? I was in there.
You were in the lobby, basically of the. It's, I guess it was also an MMO or something like that.
It's like Texas Hold'em or something.
I go out to the lobby and you're there, and you've played to the same point I had. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. We were talking about like who we're going to choose or you know what we're going to do, and we find there's a co-op you can do to go into the final mission. So I'm assuming.
Oh boy!
Like, hey, Dave, you want to have a four way and go on a vital space mission? So, but we agreed to co-op the last mission, and for some reason the lobby map looked like the overworld in Chrono Trigger, and you had the human icons that you pick, only they're Simpsons characters, and
too much tapped out, huh?
It's the exact same thing, yeah. And then you could go to like. As your ship goes from like planet to planet or whatever, you get minerals and things like that to make items. So I'm going from like Marge Simpson is like your blacksmith and she'll make you items, and then Lisa will make you items and things like that as you walk your character along the map. And I'm making items and you're like, oh man, okay, I've got to take care of Henry. This is going to take a little while, but I really want to do this mission with you. Would you mind using my inventory and making these items for me, and then we'll go on the final mission while I deal with Henry. I was like, okay, cool. So I make all of my items and set my inventory, and I go into your inventory, and start crafting your items. And immediately, like, I craft like two items, your inventory's full. So then I go through and I look at your inventory. You have not used a single item the whole time you've played this game. So your inventory is absolutely full of like awesome items, but you're getting even more awesome items in. So I'm having to comb through your inventory trying to delete stuff to make room for the new stuff.
It sounds like you've logged into a WoW character. Where I've just created a character whose name like holds stuff.
Oh man, Final Fantasy XI, I think I had 14 mules at one point. Ooh. Just for items, yeah, that I had to transfer accounts. But that's another side. But I'm looking through, I'm like, because I know the way you play games, like, oh, I'm going to need this item. I can't use it yet. I can't use it.
I hate using consumables.
So I go through, I'm like, damn it, Dave. All right. And I'm trying to go through throwing away, like, if you have one of something and it's okay item, I'm throwing it away.
You're throwing my stuff
awesome
away?
Awesome items, yeah. You've got, like, you got the best items in the game rolling
you're
in, so I'm trying
away
I gotta throw
these
away
awesome
some
items?
Of them. But I'm agonizing over it, and it's, like, enormous. So, honestly, what feels like
thank you.
The majority of my night is spent combing through this fake inventory in my brain. Like, I remember I get up... fucking Dave, and like I pee and I get a drink of water and I go back to bed. I resume exactly what I was doing before, and like my whole night of dreaming is me going through your fake inventory. Like I have to get up and be like, this isn't a real thing, this is just a dream, stop dreaming this. I keep doing it so many times I eventually have to like switch my brain off to stop dreaming about going through your inventory so I can go back and have decent sleep.
Tyler's a ghost, everybody. We didn't want to mention anything, but Tyler is here in spectral form today.
Real me is over there in bed, still going through the inventory. I'll do that. Sometimes I'll do that in dreams where, like, for some reason, I'll hit, like, a research phase of whatever dream, and then, like, my brain will just get hung on that, and the rest of my night dreaming will just be, like, mundane research or looking through something or trying to figure out a puzzle or writing down math problems, and that'll just be it until like I can wake up and convince myself to stop before I can actually go back to bed and sleep unconsciously.
Is that a disclaimer on Lunesta?
Maybe.
Warning, mundane maybe. Research maker.
I do that too, so it's not your
well I would rather have
drugs.
That than the Ambien where I would just like okay, I'm on a diet, man. I've done really good today. Take this Ambien. I'm going to eat 4,000 calories worth of gravy and M&Ms.
Man, I cannot tell you how many times I have woken up from a smoking dream and just been like, that is the worst way. I know that feeling. That is like the worst way to wake up where it's like your first thought in the morning is, just ruined 3-year streak.
Well, I used to have, when I was doing keto, I would have carb nightmares. So I would dream out ate French fries and wake up in a panic, or I ate spaghetti and wake up in a panic because I ruined the whole diet and I wasn't in ketosis anymore. Fuck.
Usually when I wake up from a dream where I had French fries, I'm like, I'm mad, but for a different reason. It's like, damn it, I didn't have those fries.
Nikki, where'd you put the French fries? Did you throw my French fries away? I had them here.
You know how I like to keep them under the pillow.
They were 4 foot long.
And they were actually surfboards, crinkle cut surfboards.
I had some of that purple ketchup that you used to have like 10 years ago that no one ate, but you thought about buying it in the store, but then didn't.
You know what? I didn't find who suggested Super Mario Galaxy. The whole time you told your story, I'm clicking through iTunes reviews, didn't find it. So I'm going to go ahead and stop looking. If you suggested that we play this game, sorry, we don't know who you are, mm-hmm. But you're welcome for talking about the game.
And your title will be Lost Sunshine if you don't have one already. So let us know.
What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host, and I don't have a dream to talk about. I used to dream a lot more. I think I've talked about this on the show before. Most of my dreams now happen around 6 o'clock because I usually wake up at 7 o'clock. And about 6 o'clock, I'll start having a dream where I'm getting ready for work, and I get out of bed and I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I go to the bathroom. I use the bathroom. I get in the shower, take a shower. I brush my teeth. I do all the normal things. I brush my hair. I go to the back to the bedroom, of course, singing Chippendale Rescue Rangers song as I do it. I go to the dresser. I get all my clothes. I put all my clothes on. I go in, say goodbye to Henry. I kiss Nikki. I grab my keys and my wallet off my mantle, make sure I've got my phone in my pocket. I open the front door, walk out. I wake up at 7 o'clock.
That sounds terrible.
Yep, that happens at least once a week.
Oh man,
anybody like any psycho analysts out there? Let me know how fucking crazy I am because that seems like a not normal thing.
I haven't in a while, but I used to have a lot of dreams about my teeth falling out. I know that's symbolic of something.
That's a confidence thing, yeah. Because I think that's pretty common. That's a common one. I have that dream from time to time too.
I've never had the naked dream problem.
My college boyfriend had the teeth dreams, and so he would take such good care of his teeth. He would brush and floss his teeth like 3 times a day and use mouthwash, and like he was just so concerned about his teeth because he had those dreams.
Yeah. I also have 3 hearts, much like an octopus. That was my second intro story that I wanted to do, but I figured that's probably a little more boring. Maybe I had more dreams as a kid because I didn't have a set bedtime, which of course I do now. My mom calls every night at 11 and she's like, "Are you in bed?" And I'm like, I don't answer back because then she'll think I'm asleep. But when I was a kid, it was one of those things. I remember when I first started, it was when I started preschool and my parents were like, "All right, you need to start going to bed." I think they tried to set it at like 7 o'clock, and that shit just did not stand. Like they would put me in bed, I would stay in bed, and then I'd hear them in the other room watching television. And it was like, all right, I have a feeling I can get out of bed and maybe like, I mean, they're my parents. I can probably just charm my way into watching Charles in Charge, whatever the fuck they're watching. It's gonna be fine. So I'd get out of bed, I would go into the living room. And here was my game, right? They would be watching TV, and I would just try to, I would sneak into the room, and I would just try to get in a chair and sit down. And like, my logic was, if they don't notice me sit down, and they notice me later, they'll just be like, "Oh, David's there. Yeah, no big deal." I guess he's been here the whole time. We never put him to bed. So they would of course always find me and put me back in bed, and I would just sneak back out again. And it got to the point where if they would find me in a chair and put me back to bed, I would just sneak back out and I would like hide behind the couch or something like that. And it's like, I wouldn't do anything. I'd just be behind the couch for like an hour while they're watching TV. I guess my logic was, at least I'm not in bed, fuckers. So sometimes they go to bed at like 11 o'clock and like they get up from the couch and I just be like sitting there with my back up against the back of the couch, just chilling, just looking at the wall. So it like that I think is the first instance of me just like wearing somebody down because it was they just gave the fuck up. It was just like, he just doesn't want to sleep. And then we worked out this like weird treaty where they're like, all right, all of the parents and the teachers will think that we are the most awful fucking people if you're up all night. We know you're going to be up all night. So like, just be in bed. Just be in bed. As long as you're in bed, we don't care if you're asleep. We don't care. I mean, you can be reading. That's fine. Reading's good. You won't get in trouble if you read. So that was their thing. So it's like,
it's pretty fair.
Every fucking night. Like, I went through so many goddamn books because I just fought against sleep. I just did not want to go to sleep. So I read and read and read. To the point where, like, they dreaded where it was like, I mean, it was good and bad because they were proud. They're like, our son reads so much. But at the same time, like, the book budget in the family was like, through the fucking roof.
You're reading your family to the board. Yes.
And it's like, I think they, like, started upping, like, what I was reading because it was like, well, an adult book, he'll read a lot slower than a children's book. So I remember reading, like, I was reading Stephen King, I think, when I was
here,
like,
Dave, read the Bible.
Yeah. Oh, I started that, and I was like, I don't like this.
They're just like,
this is boring.
I reject your Catholicism. Well, damn it.
But that's okay, because every time we go to church, I would sneak into a pew and sit there and hope they didn't notice me.
I had to, see, it would have been nice if I could have read, but I mean, if I would have had a light on, Dad would have known, come in and yelled at me. So most of my nights were spent laying in bed with headphones in, listening to the radio.
Yeah.
So I got to know 96.9 and their DJs very, very well during middle school and part of high school.
Is this chapter one on your long road to podcasting?
Sort of, yeah. Oh, it sucked so bad. But I would just sit there just, all right, let's listen to your top whatever. Same thing.
Your top
for 2 weeks in a row.
Fucking 25 N64 games.
Then I tried to talk to people about, I mean, this is what I know. Let's talk about 969 music, and no one knew what the fuck I was talking about.
That part actually surprises me. What's up, Nicole?
Hey.
Thanks for sharing your octopus facts.
You're welcome.
Earlier, before we started recording. And that's how I knew about the three hearts thing.
Very interesting octopus facts. Tyler, whenever you were telling your story, you said that it had Star Trek type hallways. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little confused as to what Star Trek
the doors
are.
That open up. the doors that open up, you know, as you approach them, you know, as opposed to regular doors,
you know, future doors, the kind that open.
They don't.
I call walls doors that don't open.
Non-walls.
Doors are just wall holes. That's what I call them. Doors that would open as you walked up to them, like the metallic whoosh whoosh doors.
Okay. Have you seen Star Trek?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay.
They have doors that do that.
It's basically, I bet I have seen.
As you approach them, you have to like ring the doorbell.
I don't think you ring the doorbell.
Well, it's a little.
It's not like Oz.
They have the little things you ring, and then the person inside hears it and they ask, and then they can tell the door to open.
Is this some TNG stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, because like I don't recall any of that from original series where they're just like, I mean, they walk up the doors and they do have those little,
like, even like people's quarters, the doors just open.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, like
kind of privacy is that?
There's never like this Lassie moment where they take the receiver off the thing and they're like, "Hello, operator, can you open the door to 1187?"
Anyway, yeah. I was amused by your Star Trek type hallways.
Well, they had like metal and then like weird carpet. Yeah. Yeah.
Weird. Wait, carpet, what? Like weird in a hotel? Carpet.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
All those Star Trek ships with their hotel
carpet. With
carpets.
Their hotel carpet.
Always cooking Indian food. It just like the smell gets in the carpet. I don't know.
Big water stains that just never go away. Girls posing naked and then running into their rooms, whatever cam they're trying to. Beyond E-fucked, yeah.
E-fucked Star Trek.
E-fucked. I feel like in the last month, I've seen several E-fucked videos that are girls, like cam girls, cam models, trying to be exhibitionists and fooling around on like hallways in cheap motels. And it's always like the janitor comes in and they freak out and drop their laptop, or they're like masturbating and they don't notice someone come up behind them, look at them very confused.
Why does the janitor have a laptop?
The girl has the laptop. The janitor is just like, I'm looking for a Wi-Fi signal.
The janitor is actually watching her.
Like, I knew you were here. I knew this Star Trek carpet.
How badly would that freak a cam girl out? Like, you just bust in with a laptop. I knew you were here.
I'm looking at the doorbell sound for you.
Okay.
I was about to say, Joshman sent a very interesting text just now.
All right.
Where does the sound come out of this thing?
The sound hole.
You got to ring the bell for the sound to come out.
Are you on mute? Oh no, I don't know what that is.
That's it. Only does it once. Like that was just
that's cause for mutiny, right there.
Yeah, like whenever you would come up to the door to somebody's quarters and you'd want to let be let in, you'd hit the doorbell and it would make that sound.
No.
But these are just I don't mean someone's quarters. I just mean the hallway doors. It's like the West Wing, only with doors that go whoosh, whoosh. Yeah.
So like when you go to the supermarket and the doors open automatically, like Walmart.
Yeah, they're not see-through though.
Okay.
They're metal.
They're made of Star Trek material.
Yeah. <they're, laughs> you know? Yeah, exactly.
I get it. I've never watched any. Well, I should take that back. I've watched a little bit of Next Generation. My goal was to watch.
It's the best.
I hear that from people.
The best.
Let me tell you something. I started and I was like, this is not good.
It is
like,
so good.
I could not get into it.
So good.
So I was like, here's what I'll do. Because Burger Bottom John Turley. Sorry, John. He's a big Star Trek guy. And he's been bugging me for years to watch it. And then, of course, you and Josh started watching it. And I heard you guys talking about it. And then the new movies came out. And it's like, okay, I'll try this Star Trek thing. I enjoyed these two movies that everyone says is nothing like Star Trek. So I'll try this thing. Nikki used to watch Next Generation. You know, Sexy Little Boy mm-hmm. was on there. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'll start there. And I know that's what Nicole and Josh are watching. Mm-hmm. So I'll start there. Man, I couldn't stay awake for an entire episode. I could not. And it was like, I don't know what I can do. I guess I'll just start from the beginning. Maybe I'll just start mm-hmm. from the beginning. So I started watching the original series and I was like, this is really good. Like, this is actually entertaining. It's like they don't fucking take it too seriously. It's just like, mm-hmm. it's just a show. It's just a show. I feel like at that point they're just like, here's a television show. It's about space and stuff. But by the Next Generation, I feel like they were just like entrenched in, well, this is Star Trek, and it's pretty serious.
I think I have seen one full episode of Next Generation.
Good Lord. You guys need to watch it.
That was my philosophy of science fiction class, because we had to watch this one episode and write a paper about
it. Which episode was it?
It was an alien that needed a blood transfusion, but his parents said that their culture didn't believe in that because his soul would come out if that happened. So, but the Next Generation crew knew if this doesn't happen, he's going to die. And the parents just outright refused, like, nope, he'll just have to die.
How did House solve the problem?
They gave him the blood transfusion anyway to save his life, and then his parents killed him because they said he has no soul now. And they cut his head off and left. So it was a big thing about religious beliefs versus science and what you would have done and why you would have done it and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool. That sounds like a pretty cool class.
It only lasted like 3 semesters, I think, but it was a very good class. That was when I also had to watch Blade Runner and write a report about Blade Runner. We did a big thing about how time travel and Back to the Future is bullshit. We had to write a big paper about that and determinism and...
Well, clearly, we don't have hoverboards. Yeah. So
it's not real.
Huge oversight. I'm curious to see what you think about this, Tyler. Let's start a new podcast where you and I watch every episode of Next Generation and
don't have Nicole on it at all.
Don't, exactly. It's called the name of the show is Infuriate Nicole.
Where I'm like, we call her and just like hang up on her. Or literally hear somebody talking like, we're watching Next Generation. Oh, click.
So that's what we should do. I feel like when Dorkley's top 25 N64 games, we should just watch every episode of Next Generation and record one episode per. We'll just talk about it. We'll just be like, some guys with wrinkly foreheads showed up and they were angry. And then they had the walls that opened.
Or
you know?
we'll watch it on mute, no subtitles, and try to assume what it's about.
Like it's a telenovela.
All right. The really pasty guy that doesn't make any facial expressions, he's just talking to people. So I don't know.
What is he, a robot or something?
Doing a series on Star Trek games would be pretty interesting.
Oh, I'd rather watch the show.
I mean, we're already having to do Star Wars games. We could do Star Trek games.
Only, okay, I'll agree
with Simpsons games and Star Trek games, just do these awful series.
As long as, if we can get John Turley on for Star Trek games, I'm in.
Mm.
If we can't, I'm out.
Okay.
So we probably won't do
it. So probably not going to do that.
Not until his kids are graduating.
Yep. Look forward to our Star Trek series in 16 years.
Super Mario Sunshine?
Yeah.
You want to talk about that game?
A little bit. That's a game. It is a game.
That came out. Do you hear that, Tyler?
Mm-hmm.
It's the whoosh. It's a science fiction door train.
Whoosh.
Which I mean, you know,
I'm a door you can't see through. Whoosh, whoosh.
There's so many science fiction doors in Super Mario Sunshine. I mean, it just makes sense that that would be the train that leaves the station, which of course ushers in a segment that we like to call Dave Reads on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let me find my iPad. Let me open that up. Put in my password.
So while you do that, let me tell a little bit of news I saw. I just happened to see it today.
Okay, guys.
We happen to be doing Mario Sunshine. That there's a rumor about Super Mario Sunshine 2 being in development right now for
really?
For the Wii U.
That's interesting.
So.
Not for mobile?
No. It could be. Fuck, who knows? Ugh. The Wii U phone coming out soon.
I'd probably get one. Yeah, not really.
No, I probably would. If it's as big as the Galaxy Note, then I probably would do.
Okay, guys. Super Mario Sunshine, or as it's known in Japanese, Super Mario Sunshine. That's what it says. It says do it super racist, too. So. It's a platform video game developed by Nintendo Entertainment Analysis and Development and published by Nintendo for the GameCube. It came out everywhere in 2002. I'm just going to go ahead and combine three sentences into one. It is the second 3D Mario platformer following Super Mario 64, which came out in 1996. So there's a pretty big gap between those games. Mm-hmm. Super Mario Sunshine's successor is Super Mario Galaxy, which was released for the Wii in 2007. Yeah, I don't know what that was. The game takes place...
You activated the voice search on my phone. I don't know how.
Let me see if I can do that again. Super Mario Sunshine's successor is Super Mario Galaxy, which was released for the Wii in 2007. No.
I don't know what secret code word you said.
Tyler, phone, activate, murder everyone. The game takes place on the tropical isle Delfino, where Mario, Toadsworth, Princess Peach, and five toads are taking a vacation. A villain resembling Mario, known as Shadow Mario, vandalizes the entire island with graffiti, and Mario gets blamed for the mess. I'll leave it there. It goes on to tell more about the story, but I figure we'll probably talk about that stuff.
Maybe.
Probably. Hopefully.
And I want to talk more about the doors in Star Trek first.
I will say that there is already a podcast that is doing an episode for episode of every episode of all Star Treks. So
it's a really good show. I have listened to it. I think it's called like Mission Log or something like that.
Yeah,
it's actually a really good show. It's by like, because what I was doing was, man, this was so, wow, this is dorky. I would watch an episode of the original series, stop, play their podcast where they talk about that episode, then watch another episode and play their podcast. They're actually like, it's kind of the opposite of Tadpog because they're like super insightful.
We're not insightful about games.
When I listened to it, I was like, oh yeah, this is really interesting. They're like talking about dicks or butts or anything.
Well, I'm out. I'll never listen.
I'm glad that you listened to it.
Yeah, it's really good. Of course, I'm not very far because I haven't finished the first season of the original series. I'm surprised you got past the first episode because the first episode's rough. Oh, no, it's great. This that whole salt vampire, it's like rough. So cool. Yeah, I like it. I really liked the 66 Batman when I was a kid. So it's like, it kind of feels the same to me a little bit because it's like, it's pretty schlocky. Like, there's a lot of hand waving and there's a lot of like, I don't know. That's an alien, I guess. So that's kind of cool.
Because what is the? I remember what two alien races look completely different in original and Next Generation. Like in the original series, like they're just gold people, and then in Next Generation, that's the warrior culture that what's his name is from.
Worf.
Worf. I almost said Borg. And I said, that's a race.
The you know,
then Borg. I almost said warg. And I was like, no, 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 that's a giant wolf.
I think John Turley was just saying the other day, I think it was John, he said that they handled that in The Next Generation.
They make a joke about it. Yeah. They do.
Where it's like
they
an
it really
offhand
well, yeah.
comment where it's like someone asks.
And they're like, we don't talk
about that. Yeah.
So either you guys play Mario Sunshine before?
I thought I had.
Yes, I had.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever this game came out, I was in the, what did you say, 2002?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Eighth grade when this came out.
Okay.
Sophomore in college.
I was a senior. So what did you think of it when you first played it?
I remember liking it.
Did you initially get a GameCube? Because I know you were all about the N64. Did you rush out and get a GameCube as soon as it came out?
I didn't get a GameCube until a little while later. It's not because I didn't want one. But I remember liking it when I played it the first time. But playing it again, I still like it, but I thought that...
Because you get the lady boner for Mario 64.
Yes. Yes. So
how does playing this compare to Mario 64? Because really, you're the one, compared to Dave and I, you have the 3D Mario knowledge. You're 64, Sunshine, Galaxy 2. So, like, I haven't really involved in any of those games whatsoever.
Out of those four, I would put this at the bottom.
Really?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You hate Flood?
I just think that controlling it's weird.
Let's talk about Flood for a minute. Because Flood is a sentient water backpack. What are those camel packs that they call them? That's essentially what Flood is. Mm-hmm. It stands for something. It's FLUDD, and it's like, I don't know. It's some kind of like cutesy acronym.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like something liquid delivery device.
Something like that. And Flood sounded to me like...
Lady Robot.
Sounded to me like...
You stick your dick in that moving nozzle now. That's fine.
A robot Trish Takanawa from Family Guy.
That's pretty good. That's
like to the point good. Where I almost like looked
Man,
up the voice actor.
Man, that's pretty good. Yeah, you're 100% right.
I don't know. What didn't you like about Flood? Just hard to control?
Hard to control, yeah. I mean, I like the concept a lot, but I just felt like it was really hard to control.
What the fuck does Flood do? Why do you got to have a backpack? Why you got to have a water backpack?
You got to spray off all the graffiti, all the gunk that's everywhere. You got to spray it off, and then you can also use it to move around, hover.
That's what I use it the most for.
I can see why Mario purists wouldn't enjoy this, because Flood is like essential to every single part of the game.
Yeah.
So I can understand how broad people would be like pissed off and upset by it, because it makes it not feel as much like a Mario game.
That hover is straight up how I got through all of the parts of the game that I played. Mm-hmm. Spoilers, I didn't finish the game. Because
Mario put grease on his shoes. So you may as well, you have to use the hover, otherwise you're just going to slip off fucking everything you step on.
Well, it's like, I thought I'd played this game. I hadn't played this game. I think I may have even mentioned on a previous episode that you were on, Nicole. I totally mixed this up for Galaxy. Like, when I started playing it, I was like, oh, this one. This game with the weird fat plant people. No, I didn't play this one. Like the proto Pikmin. I don't know what the fuck they are.
Yeah.
They're like, we're gonna test something.
If you don't sacrifice your Pikmin, this is what they grow up to be.
They grow up to be the humans in WALL-E, essentially. Because they're all like this, I don't know. We'll get to it. They're like Goo Girls. They're like Goo Girls with plants on their head. I didn't play this game, and when I started up, I was like, "Oh, it's this one! It's this one with the water backpack." But I had to use that fucking water backpack because it's like, it's probably my lack of experience with 3D Mario. It is really difficult for me to like when I go to jump on a platform, like if I'm gonna make it, like it's just impossible for me to gauge, and it's like having Flood and using Flood's hover was like every jump I made ever. I use Flood's hover just to make sure that I was going to land where I wanted to land.
You have to. You have to. I'm in total agreement with you. I had to keep checking, like, did I lose an eye? No, I got both eyes, so I should have depth perception. But playing this game, I didn't feel like I did. But I played it in 2002. I played it for a few hours in Jerk at Jeff's dorm room my freshman year, so the latter half of 2002 when I started college. I didn't play it very long because I didn't like it. I much prefer 2D Marios, so a 3D Mario is just like, it's not my bag. This, I got to where I enjoyed it, so I'm not shitting on it, I'm not saying it's a bad game, but this is not I guess really not the style of Mario that I enjoy. And man, it made me take sanity damage after a while.
What is it that you don't like about 3D Mario?
It was mind-meltingly frustrating so many times because it's just like, all right, here's what should be a simple task to get a shine. Go do it. All right, okay. I'm gonna run and jump up here. Okay, I'm jumping sideways. Why did I jump sideways? All right,
those are the best parts, like the side jump and the triple jump. Those are the best parts.
I didn't play Mario 64, so like I feel like you have to have like a good working knowledge of 3D Mario's before you go into this, because like no one's telling me like, hey, this is what you press to do a slide jump. Hey, okay, I need to come over and talk to this person. Okay, now I'm sliding on my belly 10 feet away from them. All right, okay, I'm going to walk back. All right, I'm going to talk.
You guys are brave if you're using slides. That is like a thing I never fucking use, because it's like,
I never use it on purpose.
Oh my God, it's like you do it and it's just like, well, I'm going to die. Because it's like, I got no control over Mario. I'm just going to go right off a ledge, because it's like, yep. I'll be sliding and then it's like, oh, ledge. I'm just hitting buttons. I'm like, please something work so I can regain control of this character.
I'm constantly just like, I jump up on something and then I just slide off. Like I would just get so like, I almost like bordering rage quit, infuriated on every single stage. Really? But then I would do it and finish it and be very gratified.
Yeah.
But it's just like, all right, start the whole process over again. All right, now do it, only get 8 red coins. So it's going to be even more frustrating. Okay, you did that. All right, now do something. Same thing again. And it just like, I liked it, but at the same time, like, man, I couldn't keep subjecting myself to that over and over and over again before it just started making me upset inside my soul. Well, so, I mean, it's fun to a point, but I just got so frustrated.
So you liked it. So you're saying you liked it.
I liked it enough that, like, whenever you came to get it, like, earlier that day, I was looking forward to sitting down and playing it all day. I played it for an hour and a half before it was just like, it's like a lot of people watching Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, you can only watch it for so long before you're just like, okay, I got to stop. I have to quit for a while. So, like, by the time you came to get it, I was like, okay, good, take it. I can't. I need a break.
I feel like I was not good at it, because I wasn't. It took me a really long time to figure out how to play it. I also have very little 3D Mario experience, but I feel like it took me, like, I have put so much time in this game. I really have. I've played this game for hours, and I think I've got like 18 shines.
How many hours have you played it?
Probably like 8 hours.
Whenever Josh and I looked up when we first started playing it, it said that it was like 22 hours. 22-hour game.
It feels like a big game.
Yeah, I to get all, 120, 121
there's
shines.
There's 121 of those things.
So it's just like, yeah, there's no way I could have done this in a week. Like, to play it all the way to completion. I got about halfway through it.
Jesus.
Before I was just like, I get the minimum number of stars, I could open the next world up, and just keep going like that.
Yeah.
I had no intention of getting every shine on every level.
See, maybe that was my problem. Because, like, I would run across a shine, by the way, is a thing that you have to collect. Because
we don't want to use stars, so we're going to call them shines.
They're not stars in this game. So, I mean, but they are. But this is, you know, the first game that they change it to
they're
shine.
Like, they're like stars, only they have like beards. So we're going to call them shines.
They're called shines in Galaxy, too. So.
And they power this island. And they've been painted over and hidden, I guess. I don't know.
The island gets graffitied with all the sludge, and so they, like, leave. Like, the shines leave where they usually are. They disperse.
In lieu of Yoshi's story, though, this game had a tipping point for me that made me immediately go, like, fuck. And that's when you find out, like, who Shadow Mario is.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
I thought about you when that's revealed. Spoilers.
That immediately pissed me off. Like, Now I cannot. This game automatically, no matter how much I like the rest of it, it's not going to be Bubba B. It's just not going to be.
Spoilers, it's Bowser Jr. Or I need to correct myself. I was wrong in Yoshi's Story. That was Baby Bowser.
Baby Bowser.
In Yoshi's Story.
In whenever I was reading about Mario Sunshine, it says that this is the first Mario game that has Bowser Jr. in it.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Because what I did was, I was at work after we recorded Yoshi's Story, and I remember you kept saying, Tyler, you kept saying Baby Bowser, and I kept saying Bowser Jr. I just thought it was interchangeable. Thought they were the same yeah. character. So I was like, I was at work and it was bothering me. So I was like, for some, it just popped in my head. I was like, I gotta research this now, obviously. so yeah, I looked it up. They're fucking different. Although the difference is that one wears a shirt with a mouth on it. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the difference. So I don't know. I thought it was a shame because I thought Shadow Mario, I thought was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But I kind of thought it was cool because it's like that old trope, that old like Nega Mario mm-hmm. kind of deal. Like I like that kind of stuff.
But no, it's Bowser Jr. and he thinks that Peach is his mom, so he wants to kidnap her.
Yeah. Well, he thinks Mario's mm-hmm. trying to kidnap her.
Yeah.
So he's got to keep her safe.
As soon as like the whole contraption fell apart, like I just like dropped the controller and had to walk away for a little while.
Well, I'm glad you said the contraption because it's a Mecha Koopa, mm-hmm. which is one of the things that I actually really, really, really like about this game is that it brings back some pretty obscure Mario enemies because it's like you're not going up against Goombas and Koopas, Koopa Troopas and stuff like that. It's like it's the weird enemies from Mario 3. Like a lot of them are from Mario 3 and Super Mario World that get mm-hmm. like they only appear just slightly. Mm-hmm. Like the I can't remember what they're called, but the wrench throwing dudes on
Monty Mole.
Yeah, Monty Mole. Yeah. Monty Mole's in the game.
I was pleased that Monty Mole was a mini boss.
They've got the oh shit! What was it? Oh, the Wiggler. They got Wiggler. Mm-hmm. The Caterpillar is one of the bosses. I think that was really cool. They had the cages. I love the cages in Super Mario World where you climb them and you flip the section around. Those are in the game. Like they brought back a lot of these like really cool elements that I mean they're obviously paying homage to the older Mario mm-hmm. games. So I thought that was really cool. And they're not like staying with the tried and true. It felt like they were trying to do something different, not just with Flood, but they were trying to do something different with, you know, the enemies you're fighting too. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. Deep cuts. I feel like Super Mario Sunshine is all deep cuts. It's a B-side Mario.
That's a pretty good way of putting it, actually, yeah.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was difficult, but... And it felt like I could never finish it, honestly. Like, I was mm-hmm. playing it, and I was like, I mean, there were times where I was like, I can never finish this mm-hmm. game. I just can't finish this game. I don't possess the skill to finish mm-hmm. this game.
Most of, like, the little levels, because every time you jump into, in 64, they are paintings. Mm-hmm. But in Sunshine, they're M's that you wash off, and they glow, and you jump inside, you turn to ink, and go to a different part of the island. So I enjoyed most of the aspects of the levels, however frustrating they could be, except like, man, I hate gathering 8 red coins. I will skip that. If I go back to this game, fuck it. I'm not doing that. I'm stopping on every one of those in every single world.
I think they're like the fourth episode of each, right? Or something like that.
So is that not you don't have to collect any red coins in any of the 2D Mario games?
No, I don't recall.
Like that's a thing in all the 3D Marios. Like that's
really?
Just yeah. You like that's how you get a star. Like
yeah.
In every stage of every one of them, is you collect the 8 red coins.
Yeah, God, I don't know what about that just drove me fucking crazy.
Well, I like that part of 3D Marios because usually it takes a little bit more exploring.
See, that's what I was gonna say. It's weird because it brings 3D Mario is so different than 2D Mario because mm-hmm. 3D Mario is like. This game felt like Mario meets Metroid. It did, because it was like there are parts of each level that you're not supposed to access. They're there. Like one of them, one of the worlds is an amusement park. And you can see all the other rides, but you can, I guess if you're clever enough, you can access them. And that's where a lot of the stuff is hidden. But it's interesting because they're showing you, well, this is all of the things, but you can only access this thing in this level.
So have you, because you know you didn't beat it, have you beaten this?
I have not beaten it. I watched today a video of the last stage and watched somebody beat it, and whenever I watched the guy playing the last stage, I was like, fuck, I can't do that.
Well, that makes me feel a little better.
It looks rough.
Well, see, yeah. I felt the opposite whenever I watched the last battle, and I felt like
Not the battle, compared, the stage, like, to get to the last battle.
Oh, I just watched the last the boss battle to finish the game.
I thought that was kind of...
I thought that looked... Compared to Mario 64, I was like, they are totally phoning this in. That looks like garbage.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's a final boss where you don't fight the final boss.
Mm-mm. You drain his hot tub. It's like, really? Okay.
Which, I mean, like, the whole game has a really, like, it's been criticized for having a really heavy-handed environmental message. So, you know, he's in his hot tub of sludge, so... But, like, you know, there's windmills and water mills.
The water wheels.
Water wheels.
Yeah. Water mills, you know.
I think that might actually be a term, but I don't know.
I don't know. But, yeah, it's, like, it's been criticized for its heavy-handedness. Yeah.
And Bowser, I get that he is larger than Mario, but I feel like he's getting, like, comically enormous compared to Mario in a lot of things, like, especially this game. Like, because Bowser is fucking... huge, like Mario fits in the palm of Bowser's hand. He's so fucking big, and Bowser Jr. is half the size of Mario. So they're in this hot tub together, and it just looks ridiculous. And like in Mario Party 10, Bowser's also like fucking huge. So I don't like Mario RPG, Smash Brothers. I feel like that's the size ratio from Bowser to Mario, as it should be. I don't know why in some games, like, he's literally a giant, and Mario is a very, very tiny, tiny man. let's see. The part that I had to step away from was you go to this, like, this resort part where it's always dusk, and it's where all the boos are. And there's at one point where there's pink boos that are circling. You have to climb up to the top and jump in this boo's mouth. But you spray these pink boos and they turn into blocks. Mm-hmm. And you have to climb the blocks. And that took me so, so long and was so frustrating. And I got to the top and I jumped in the boo's mouth. And you go to the classic levels. Or I think what they refer to them as. And that's like in Mario 64 where you would go to where it's just strict platforming. And on these levels, Shadow Mario comes in, takes Flood from you.
Yeah.
So it's just Mario on just a straightaway level. And I remember I only had like 2 lives left, and I couldn't get to the end of this stage. 2 lives left. I went all the way back to the beginning. And it's like, okay, all right now. But I did look up the boss battle for this against King Boo. Did you fight King Boo? This, I've also looked into this, and this is highly regarded as one of the worst boss fights in the Mario universe, because they take what should be like the King Boo has, like, boos have a certain way you have to tackle boos. You know, you have to turn away from them. Right. They have like a whole thing. This guy, this boss battle, it could have been anyone else. Why they made it a boo, it doesn't make any sense, because like it's this, they make it like a gambling thing. So you're fighting him on a spinning roulette wheel that you have to like pound the certain blocks in it to make it stop. So you can like, because then he'll pull like boos. He has a little crown on, whatever. And then he pulls up a slot machine and spins the slot machine. Depending on what the slots get, most of the time, then he'll spit fruit at you. And then you have to get the pepper, because Boo doesn't like hot peppers. Throw the hot peppers in his mouth. So then,
should have been Wart.
That makes a lot more sense.
They should have resurrected Wart for this.
So then you have to get the other fruit and then hit Boo with the fruit. So then you can actually hit him with regular mundane object. So why is he a ghost? And you have to do that so many times before he's defeated. And it's just all about Boo running a gambling hall slot machine fruit eatery.
Cool.
So other than that, a lot of the boss battles I enjoyed.
Yeah, I didn't get to do many of them, unfortunately, because I'm not very good at this. I promise it's not because I didn't put time into this game. I feel like I probably put more time into it than I should have. Like, I honestly do feel like a normal person would be, like, pretty much almost done with the game by now. I know you said, Nicole, that it's a huge game, but still, it's like, I feel like it's going to take me a really long time to finish this game.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to finish it. But I don't know. I can't even remember what I was talking about now. I got excited about talking about finish the game.
Because the first boss, Petey Piranha.
Oh, the bosses, yes.
Yeah, you just spray the water in his mouth until he gets so full, and then you stomp on him. I thought that was a good introduction boss to the controls. That was fine. The octopus, I thought, was a logical challenge up because you have to stomp on his hands and pull all the legs off the octopus.
God, that's the worst. That the giant blooper. I felt, man, you rip his legs off, and that I honestly,
he squeals in pain.
No, his fucking when you pull his fucking leg off, it twitches around like. I mean, it is like it's fucking disturbing. I was playing it and I was like, I know that I'm an old dude, but this is fucking gross because it was. It's just twitching there. It felt out of place in a Mario game. It did. Like if it was in like Half-Life or something, fine. But it's like because it's a Mario game and you rip an arm off a creature and it twitches around for like 4 fucking seconds. There's just giant arm just breakdancing in the middle of a pier. I don't know. I thought it was weird.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
I thought it was weird.
And you grab his nose and pull his nose back until it snaps back into his face. And I like that boss, but you're right. It is creepy.
It's a fun boss, but yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. And I, just because I was thinking about it, it's still nice to go from like PC games, PS4, Xbox, to a Nintendo game that has super bright colors and cheerful music and just a huge gap from us playing N64 to GameCube. And even though the GameCube is, you know, generations old now, this game still looks really, really good.
Yeah, I thought it looked good.
Like, yeah, I mean, I was impressed. The sound quality and how it looked, despite the fact, I mean, I didn't get used to the controls, but actually there was nothing wrong with them. They weren't bad controls. I hate inverted axis controls. And I couldn't find a way to change it.
The camera gets weird. And that was like my biggest complaint.
I could never look where I wanted to look.
My biggest complaint about the controls was the camera. Because it's one of those things where you can press the analog stick up. And Mario will just go whatever direction he's facing. And you can turn him with that stick just fine. But when it gets weird is you can also turn him with the camera angle. So it's like if you rotate the camera to the left, and you're hitting up on the control stick, Mario starts to move the direction that you're moving the camera. So I always had a problem where I had, in order to turn the camera around, I had to stop Mario. So there are points in the game where I'm running and I really want to see what I'm running towards. Mm-hmm. But like I've maneuvered Mario in a manner where it's just the only way that I can do it is I have to hit, this was their workaround. Hit the L shoulder button and the camera snaps to the way that Mario's facing, mm-hmm. which is a really weird, like that felt clunky to me. That is why I don't like the controls of this game as much as I do like Galaxy and some other Mario games that I've played, because it feels like at the last minute they were like, I don't know about this camera. We need like some kind of clutch. We need something where like we can make sure the camera gets in position. Let's just put it on the L shoulder button. Mm-hmm. Instead of like developing good camera controls, let's have a safety switch. So
there are a few moments in levels where the challenge is based on the camera fucking with you. I didn't like that at all. So like going like on a level, I'm jumping, suddenly the camera will go sideways. Try to orient myself to turn around to keep going. And it's just like, I don't like camera based challenges.
Yeah. I don't feel like I ever have that problem, and I think that it is strictly just the experience with 3D and 2D, because I never feel like I have that problem with any of the 3D games.
Really,
which in Mario 64 it's the same. Like you push the C up button to get it right behind him, uh-huh. so it's the same type of thing. But I never felt like I know that the it's there to adjust the camera angles, but I feel like I rarely have to adjust camera angles.
Oh, man. And maybe that's my problem. Maybe I'm fiddling with the camera too much. Yeah. And that might be why it's taking forever. Because, I mean, there are times where it's almost like I'm playing pool. Because it's like, all right, I got Mario here. I know he's got to get there. Let me find the best angle to, like, control Mario to get to point B. And so I'll sit there and I'll futz with the camera for, like, 2 minutes to get it right. And then I'll fail anyway.
Well, I know so you can look a lot left, you can look a lot right. If you're trying to look up, can't see up very well. Like you can see another Mario above Mario, and that's as high as you can see.
Does this I know that in 64 it has a part of the camera angles where you can like hit it twice or something and you don't move at all. Only the camera moves. Did this one have that?
Not that I found.
Because in 64 you can do that and you get like a POV and Mario stands still and then you can look.
POV to me means a completely different thing.
A POV Mario video.
What? Really? Okay.
But like he just stands there and you can look a lot farther up and stuff.
See, if I would have known that, it would have been a lot better for
so
me.
So I don't know. It may happen. It may not. I know that it does in 64. So
I prefer the Yoshi JOIs. That's for Nicole. That's a jerk off instruction. This is a JOI.
Instruction?
Yeah. It's where Yoshi just tells you how to stroke it, how to do it.
Yeah, it's just a girl like saying, like, do it at this pace. Do it at this pace. Yeah.
Okay,
no.
Not like, okay.
What like you want to do, you, like grab like, your dick.
Not like an instruction manual.
No. I mean, kind of. But no. It would be great for like, you know, if I was 12, it would have been like, oh, okay, yeah. This is
how you, okay. No,
okay, all right. I never would have figured it out.
If I have a son who asks about masturbation, I'm like, all right, here's Lisa Ann. She's going to tell you all about it. Super Mario Sunshine. Let's see. The other boss, let's see, because you fought PD Piranha, the Manta Ray.
No, I didn't fight him.
It was a very cool idea for an enemy, but it went on for a very, very long time. Because it was that same world where you first meet the Boos, where the guy's like, there's this, like, a shadow of a manta ray who will come over the level, and you have to squirt him with water. He takes up most of the entire map. You squirt him with water, he splits off in two. You squirt him again, he splits off in two again. Uh-huh. But he's so large, and you're shooting him in so many multiples, and if you fly, you can hover over them and shoot water down, and that's good for a little while, but they're also constantly electricity, they're trailing graffiti all over this entire map, and the battle took me like 30-35 minutes, because there are hundreds and hundreds of these tiny, tiny stingray that after a point, they will start chasing you, but that takes a while, and even then, like, you have to get up against you're back against the wall where you're in the water and just hovering back and forth until you fall down and do it again and do it again. It's a cool idea, but make it 10 minutes as opposed to 30 minutes.
So the game's hard.
The game is hard. Man, it is. It is a hard game. It is not surprising that I got to, like, the second or third stage in college. You're like, okay, put in Metroid Prime. All right, so Prime activated my voice search.
I don't know if I can answer that properly. I can do a search for that I got to the second or third stage in college like okay, but in Metroid Prime.
Man, casual phone is fun.
I thought I talked about Mitchell Prime, which is the first version of my friend Mitchell. So the original Earth 616 Mitchell.
What set your phone off? You said Prime again and it didn't.
I don't know. I have no clue.
Your phone's tripping, dog.
Yep. Which I never use my voice search, so I need to just find a way to take it off. It happens a lot.
I've been using Siri a lot lately.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever told Siri thank you?
Yeah, I think I have. She said, what did she say?
She said, your satisfaction is all the thanks I need.
have you changed how...
Quit being weird. I'm a phone.
Have you changed how Siri addresses you?
No, I thought about it and then I didn't because I don't know. I wanted to change it to something and I didn't want to be demeaning to Siri.
I bet you're the kind of person that claps at the end of movies too. The director's not there. He does not appreciate your thanks.
This is weird, but at work, my department did a team building thing. We went to the movies together. And we saw, yeah, all of us accounting nerds going to see a movie. It was awkward.
Your work seems cooler than mine all of a sudden.
We went to see Pitch Perfect 2.
Uh-huh.
And like that was...
We're back, bitches. Is that what she said when you walked in?
That's been like the only movie that I, at the end of each performance, I felt the urge to clap. I did. And I had to fight it. I was like, no, this is a movie. But it felt awkward, you know, because you feel like you've just watched this big performance and you need to clap.
But it was team building. I feel like you should have like looked to your left and right and been like, let's clap.
Let's clap like, as a
it's
team.
It's like the team building exercise that you like give standing ovations like five times in this movie.
Granted, Anna Kendrick is on my top five, so yeah. I would kind of want to.
I've seen the first one. Nikki rented it, and it was one of those where I kind of just sat in the corner and was like, this is stupid. And then my mind was like, it's not bad. It's pretty good. Pretty good, actually.
I had never seen it, and after we saw the second one, I went and rented the first one. I'm like, yeah, these are decent.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's surprisingly not horrible.
I mean, I love the first like two seasons of Glee too, so I can appreciate that sort of thing.
I've watched the Beatles episodes of Glee, but that's it. So like the story's always weird to me because I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I wish they'd get to the next Beatles song.
The Journey episode was pretty good too.
Oh, I didn't know there was a Journey episode. The video game, right?
Yep.
Where they all dress up as a Journey.
They jump on drums and stuff. Yeah. It's really weird. Oh. Anything else you want to say about Mario Sunshine?
I feel like I've shortchanged the game. So I feel like someone needs to say something that sums up what it is. Because like I feel really bad that I didn't finish it.
It's good, but super challenging. The flood element makes it not feel as Mario-ish as maybe it should be.
I feel like that describes it pretty well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The levels where Shadow Mario takes flood, those levels do feel a lot more like Mario.
Yeah, because you're more like on a straightaway, or then it's just sheer platforming challenges as opposed to trying to like hover and make your way up to a spot to try to get a vantage point, to look at something, to get a coin, to then find your way into. Well, there's this one person, she wants fruit in this basket.
Oh, so my
look
God.
Look around the city.
Oh, I did
fruits.
All of those. I did all of them. And every time, I felt like fucking Charlie Brown, man, trying to kick the football, because it's like every time I did one, one of these fucking goo girls is like, here's a blue coin. And I don't know why. I think it's the one time they're going to give me a shine. I just like.
Well, if you get enough blue coins, then you get a shine.
Yeah, you can buy.
One or you can keep buying. Like
no, you
up
can
to
keep
10.
Buying. Yeah. You can spend 10 blue coins to buy a shine.
At that raccoon, it was like, I'm not going to lower my prices for you. I don't care if you save me.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was like, no. I don't even know what blue coins are for now. I'm not going to spend them. Fuck you.
I bought four of them. Because I spent, that's the other thing. It's like, this game took me a long time because it's like, I'm fucking collecting blue coins. I'm kicking fruit in the baskets over here. I mean, you know, I'm not like actually playing the real game. It's just kind of like, oh, well, this goo girl has asked me to put three pineapples in her basket.
That's where I quit. Whenever I got one, I made my way over to her after a bunch of frustrating shit, tried to throw it up, it bounces off and disappears.
Yep.
And I was like, nope. Nope, not doing this anymore.
The fruit in this world, two things you need to know. It's on a timer. So it's like, if you buy a fruit in this world, you better eat it fast because it will disappear in roughly 30 seconds. The other thing
once
is...
Once someone touches it, if it's just on the ground...
Yeah, it's fine.
It lasts forever.
Also, rule number two, it's like Gremlins rules. Never wash your fruit because the moment the fruit touches water... It disappears in a puff of smoke and returns back to the vendor. The vendors in this game must be so fucking rich. There is is there something worse than the pineapples? I'm not a big tropical fruit eater. I think they were called durians.
Durians, the smelliest fruit.
Yeah they're smelly. Like they smell bad.
Durians smell like corpses. You crack open a durian and they smell awful.
And people
awful.
Eat them.
Yeah.
I mean, zombies.
I'm going to eat this.
I've not eaten one. I've only smelled one they cracked open in like a different classroom. Supposedly, they taste fantastic, but they smell like rotting dead bodies.
Have we mentioned Yoshi?
No, we haven't mentioned Yoshi. I never saw Yoshi, but I knew that Yoshi was in the game because early on they mentioned Yoshi. I want to talk about Yoshi for sure because I feel like someone here may have had an experience.
I got Yoshi.
Okay. But I don't want to forget about the durians. They're way worse than the pineapples because you cannot pick a durian up. I guess because it's
they're
spiny.
Big. Yeah, and spiny.
So what you do is you play a mini soccer. You play a soccer mini game. You have to kick the ball down a street, around a corner, up a ramp, down another street, and then you have to kick it over a body of water to a platform. Then you have to jump and hover over to that platform, land, and then kick the durian into a basket. You have to do this before the motherfucker evaporates. I did this for an hour and a half.
Oh, man.
It took me an hour and a half to get three durians in the basket. And, hey, I got my blue coin, though. God damn it. God damn it, Lucy. You fucking pull that football out of me one more time.
Oh, fuck, man.
So, Yoshi.
Yoshi has to eat a pineapple that's clogging up a pipe. So, like,
is that it? Please tell me that's all. Like, Yoshi's appearance is just like, I'm Yoshi. Enjoy this J-O-I while I fucking eat this thing out of a tube.
Like, Shadow Mario grabs a Yoshi egg, and I have to spray Shadow Mario until he drops that. And then you have to feed the egg a fruit. Yoshi hatches, and then Yoshi will eat the pineapple that's plugging up this one pipe that takes you to the Dusk Boo world that I quit at.
Okay.
So,
can you control Yoshi? Like, is Yoshi a playable character?
You ride Yoshi. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean,
and he squirts juice.
What?
You ride Yoshi and he squirts juice at enemies and they can also eat enemies.
Because I only use the tongue part.
Mm-hmm. Where is he squirting juices from?
Like I do most of the time. Yeah,
no,
there's a little gauge of his there's a gauge of his stomach that says juice at the bottom.
I read too that one of the ideas they rejected for this game, first of all, the Nintendo decided not to do a gun style water gun.
Oh yeah.
Because in North America they thought that water guns are bad, I guess. So
there was that big thing about like water guns couldn't look like real guns for a long time, and
I still don't think they can.
Anyway, so that was rejected. But another idea that they rejected for this game was the idea that you fed Yoshi water and then he vomited up the water. So I guess they replaced that with juice. So
where's the juice coming from? No, everyone,
I guess the fruit that he eats.
Where
juice
on Yoshi's body is the juice coming from?
His mouth, right?
Oh, his mouth. I don't know. I never squirted
juice.
I'm pretty sure it's out of his mouth. Pretty sure.
Cool.
No, you rub his neck for a long time, and then he's just like, sometimes it goes way out there. Sometimes the juice just dribbles out of his mouth.
No. You rub his neck for a while, then you stop. You ride around for a while, you rub his neck again. You ride around, then you rub his neck.
The longer you wait between neck rubbings, the further it'll go. If you do it back to back to back, it just dribbles out.
He's giving you instruction while you do.
I also read that you can change the color of Yoshi depending on the fruit that you feed him.
Like a flamingo and shrimp.
Right.
Because my Yoshi was pink. So I guess because he wanted a banana.
I wouldn't think that would make him yellow.
I was watching some videos, and that one that he was writing in the video was orange. Mm-hmm. So
I'm glad you said that they were planning on using a water gun, because it totally reminded me of something that I wanted to mention. This game at points felt like a Super Mario shooter, because like there are points in the game where you have to like stop moving and aim Flood like as a gun, mm-hmm, and specifically shoot things. Mm-hmm. And it was really weird because I've never had that experience in a Mario game before, because mm-hmm, it's like, man, for a Mario game, like I probably jumped on like four things. And then like the rest I just shot with water.
Yep.
It made me wonder, were they like Mario, Nintendo felt like they were late to the first person or third person shooter genre, and they were like, let's take a stab at this.
Man, did you play the Metroid Prime thing they were working on? Yeah, can we do something like that? Okay.
I guess. I mean, can Yoshi squirt juice? Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I mean, it has its issues, but it is a hardcore Mario game. There's no easy mode on this game at all.
Mm-mm.
But it's an enjoyable experience. I don't know of any other platform you can get it on besides GameCube. I don't know if it's on any kind of...
It's not on Virtual Console, because I looked for it. I ended up playing it on my Wii.
Are there any GameCube games on Virtual? No.
And I Googled, like, why aren't there GameCube games on there? And the only reason I could find is because they're disc-based. And they're like, well, if they're disc-based, then they're not going to put them on Virtual Console. I'm like, but I can't put this disc in my Wii U. I can put it in the Wii, but I can't put it in the Wii U.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I put the disc in the Wii, and I was super frustrated because I've got an adapter. I've got a GameCube to Wiimote adapter, mm-hmm, which allows me to play certain games wirelessly with the GameCube controller. But for GameCube games, you have to physically plug it into the port on the top of the mm-hmm Wii.
The very convenient port located on the top.
So I've got... I mean, it still worked out because I have like for some reason, and that reason being long Naruto fighting nights with John Turley, I have like 20-foot extension cables for the GameCube.
See, because we had the TV pulled out of the wall, the couch pulled back from the wall.
No,
we had the Wii in the middle of the in the middle of the floor on a TV tray.
let's pretend our living room is 5x5.
I don't know how the fuck did we game before wireless controllers? It is a deal breaker for me now if I can't be at least 25 feet away from the television.
You gotta sit crisscross applesauce 2 feet in front of the screen.
I used a beanbag chair. I had a beanbag chair that I pulled out, and that was what I played games in. So
I have not used a beanbag chair since I masturbated naked in one. And it wasn't one of those quick rub outs. It was a long time, and it made me sweat.
Never sweat in a beanbag chair.
So
dude,
I got up, and I was like a parrot, like a Koopa Troopa, because it clings all around me, and I get up, and I'm hunched over.
So there I am with cum on my belly. cool game. I mean, it's so fucking weird. The game is so fucking weird, but I want to play more of it, and it's so fucking, I should just stop playing it, but I want, Nicole, we passed around your copy of the game. I want to keep it, and I want to try to maybe finish the game.
Yes, you're more than welcome.
It might be 3 years, but I promise I won't sell it.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, and if you need it back,
well, should Nicole have a Mario Sunshine emergency?
So yeah, absolutely.
So,
the president of her workplace is coming to town and strictly wants to play Mario Sunshine and then have a pitch perfect work exercise.
So if the three of us are talking about this game and the three of us are going to talk about Mario 64,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So are we going to talk about Mario Galaxy at some point?
I guess we could.
It's fine with me.
I'd really like to.
Yeah. Okay.
I really love that game. It's really good.
We just talked about it.
Take one of these.
What is it?
It's from Lord Matt Barger's Fat Package. He sent us a ton of Mario Galaxy Nintendo certified collector coins.
What is it? A coin?
Mm-hmm.
What's it for?
Collect 100 of them and you get to live again.
It's just a collector's item.
Thank you, Matt.
So we supposedly gave a whole bunch of them away, but no one ever sent us their address. So I still have a huge stack. I think now I have given away. I gave one to Joe, one to Sam, uh-huh, and now one to Nicole. There are still 12 more behind me.
I will cherish it.
So we're wearing away at Matt's Fat Package, mm-hmm, little by little.
Well, you know, the deal is when we're out of coins, we have to stop the show. So that's why we're doling them out so slow.
Mm-hmm. Those are our life tokens, so that's it.
Everyone's going to notice a huge decrease in quality of the show now that we've given a coin away. Every time we give a coin away, the show gets shittier. So,
so there now no more intro stories, Dave. It's better for you, but
I mean, I'm about to say that. I feel like that might be an upgrade for me. Well, you guys don't want to hear a story about how I snuck into the living room?
I do. I love child Dave, because I can't wrap my head around you ever being not the way I met you.
Yeah.
So Jacob has said the same thing. We can't imagine you as a kid.
I was a pretty mature kid. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I kind of think I can't imagine you as a kid either.
I was also a very mature kid.
It's like you on your knees. That's kid Nicole.
Well, I was always shorter. I mean, you didn't have any siblings until you were older.
Right. I was 13 when my sister was born. Yeah.
Right. So it's I was just always with adults.
Mm.
Me too. So. Did you often get the compliment, or did you hear the compliment being told, your child is so polite? that was the biggest compliment. I got that all the time.
I don't think I ever got that, but I was a
You have docile really... offspring.
He's so well behaved. His coat is very shiny.
We're sorry for interrupting you
every time.
It's okay.
No, try to say something else.
It's fine.
Oh, man.
Do you have any achievements for this game?
Yes.
What?
Go for it. Go for it.
I only have one, but I wanted to get it in because I was afraid somebody else would take it.
Okay. So, okay.
My achievement is the Golden State, and you get this achievement the first time you run out of water.
Topical.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. So I've got two.
What you got?
You're pretty patient. And you unlocked that by beating the Phantom Manta, which is that giant shadow.
That splits. Yeah. The Hydra Manta.
And then So Fresh and So Clean, which is you clean off 10 either residents of Delfino or Toads throughout the course of the game.
They're called Pianatas? The residents of...
Pinatas. That's what we broke at your birthday.
They're not pinatas. They're pianatas, I think.
Pianatas.
Pianatas.
That's a horrible name, Nintendo.
Pientas? Pianatas?
Pienta? I think it's pienta.
Something like that. Yeah. It's like close to pinata, but
unless
not quite.
Unless that's a swear word in Spanish, in which case. I don't know.
There's... whenever you talk to people, like, I would prefer just like a dialogue box or a speech bubble as opposed to this, like... line of sound, like
I thought it was cute.
I thought it was hard to read.
Here was my problem talking to the NPCs. I have two issues with it. The first issue is like a level will start and I'll just immediately be disappointed because it's like I already see like six NPCs I'm gonna have to talk to. It's like I'm gonna have to like stop the action in this fucking platforming video game and talk to a fucking dude who's gonna say something like, "Oh man, it sure is hot out here." Fuck you. You should not be in the game. Like, if you don't have something important to say in a Mario game, get the fuck out.
Because I'm gonna talk to this guy. Slot of my belly brought past.
That is the same thing. Oh my god! Like the rage. You have to be like right up on an NPC to talk to him, and not only that, like you have to be facing him. So it's like there's so many times where I like run up to a dude and just like flop over and slide down the street.
You spray him with water, or then you jump on them, or no wonder they want to put Mario in jail.
And I go to so much effort to like talk to this person, and then they're like, "The tree on my head sure is big." Fuck you. I spent 2 minutes trying to talk to you, and that's all you got to say? But I like the game.
It's more fun to talk about some of its... It has qualities that are good that are hard to talk about.
Yeah.
You know?
The music. I know you talk about the sound. The music is great. Mm-hmm. I will forever
it's
have...
It's very themed.
This like, and all the music is very Super Mario World to me. Mm-hmm. And like, they take a lot of the Super Mario World music and kind of reinvent that stuff. The main island music is like Mario and the Riviera. And it's like, that shit has been stuck in my head like since I started playing this game. I was in the shower this morning. I was like, dun, 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 dun. And then it like goes into this like accordion bit. Like, damn, it's like the fucking Decemberists up in here.
This game is, it does remind me of like all the carnival cruises I've ever taken. So, yeah.
Now I never have to go on one.
That's true. You don't.
The experience has been fulfilled by Mario Sunshine.
You get some really cheap trophies. So otherwise, it's about the same.
I've got one achievement for this game. How many? There's 121 shines in this game.
Mm-hmm.
The achievement is called Shine Blockers. And in order to unlock Shine Blockers, you complete the game with 120 shines.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Because there's... How many stars are there in Mario 64?
If there's not 64, then that's crazy.
I don't remember.
Because it's something like almost like that, like 121 or something like that. There's like one hidden extra one that's over the total you thought it would. And Bowser's like, "I didn't know there were 100 and blah, blah, blah stars."
Can we talk about something for a minute that's very serious?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The AIDS epidemic. Yeah.
Do you remember what it was like collect 100 coins and get an extra life?
Uh-huh.
What the fuck happened? Like, things just got out of control because it was just like... Mario 64 came out and they were just like, "Fuck it, man. You get 87 fucking stars and you can get a fucking thing."
You get an extra life if you get 100 stars in Mario 64, if you get 100 coins.
I never came close to getting 100 coins in Mario Sunshine.
I collected coins.
They reset.
I'm fucking
it's
crazy.
It's fucking bullshit.
You got them at weird intervals because like I remember one time, one level, I collected 30 coins and it was like, "Have an extra life, dude." I mean, thanks, I guess. Does it have anything to do with when you start, and they call them episodes, when you start an episode, at the bottom it says high score, and then it lists like amount?
They just do that. Like, that way you can go back and try and get more, like, beat your high score.
Okay, so it's not like you don't get rewarded for beating the high score.
I don't think so.
Okay. The lives don't matter, by the way, because it's pretty much unlimited continues, right?
Yeah, but it was frustrating in the event of, like, when I finally got up that Boo staircase, lost all my lives, instead of starting that classic Mario level over again, I had to climb the Boo staircase again. Yeah. So I was like, no, fuck that. Nope.
Fair enough. I like the game. I like the game. I just want to say that. I like the game.
So, I can see why it's sort of the cult Mario. This and Mario 2 are kind of like the... A lot of people didn't like them, but it's kind of... It has a strong following like the otherwise. Fringe Mario. Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait to play the occult Mario.
That's called Luigi's Mansion.
All right,
that's a good game, too.
Yeah, I've never played Luigi's Mansion because I heard it's not great. You like it?
I played the DS, I think 2.
Okay.
Luigi's Mansion 2 on the DS. I like it a lot.
I'll play it. I'll try it on your recommendation. And because it's a cult Mario.
And it's another GameCube game. So if we want to keep going and after Dorkly then do GameCube games. And somebody commented like, when you get to Wii U, this shit's going to get expensive. Yeah.
I find it weird that we're not just picking Nintendo consoles because they're Nintendo consoles. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of been a coincidence. Because I think someone else has mentioned, man, I wish these guys would do things other than Nintendo. So, I mean.
It's like when Nintendo dominated our childhood.
Yeah.
So, like, we played other game systems as adults, but as kids it was pretty much Nintendo. Although we didn't play Nintendo 64, it was PlayStation. But I do not want to tackle a PlayStation list.
There's so many not great games.
There's so much absolute garbage on the PlayStation.
I want to do Saturn games at some point. At least, like, maybe not a Saturn list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, there's probably not a Saturn list out there. But there are at least a handful of Saturn games.
Both just want to play Panzer Dragoon.
Yes,
Panzer
really Dragoon Saga. I think we should, like...
Knights and Panzer Dragoon, and that's about it.
We need to buy a Saturn on eBay. Or do you own one? You may own one.
I don't.
All right, we got to find a Saturn.
I own a lot of consoles, but that's one I don't have.
You and I are bringing it to Toys R Us, and we are hooking it up to a TV, and you and I are going to play it there. Because that's the extent of my Saturn experience.
I had a Saturn at one point, but we took it back. After I beat Virtual Fighter, and Dad was like, what other games are there? There's none. So we took it back. Because Saturn, like, that's the thing. Like, because of the Saturn, Sega is dead now. Because they just released it like on a lark. They're like, at E3, they were like, here's the Saturn console. Oh, by the way, it's in stores now. And no one had any money saved up. There were no advertising. There were no games ready. Like,
yeah.
So
they were trying to beat PlayStation to the punch. And it would have been so much better if they would have just waited. So like marketing was all on the same page and they had some games that were going to release. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, well. Panzer Dragoon.
Are you saying Pans of Dragoon?
Pans of Dragoon. Crab Rangoon, the game. Panzer.
Panzer, like the big tank
thing? Like
things?
The tank, like, okay. Yeah. Panzer Dragoon.
Okay.
It's an on-the-rails shooter where you're riding a dragon. It's pretty cool.
Sounds interesting.
There's another one that's an RPG. I've always wanted to play that one. And I know Shining Force... I don't know if it ever got an English translation, but Shining Force 3 was on the Sega Saturn. I've always wanted to play that.
All right. Looks like we're doing Saturn games at some point.
Top three Saturn games we want to play.
That's what we should start doing is we should start making our own lists where it's just like, especially on systems that we've never owned, where it's like, well, these look cool. Tyler and Dave's top 10 Sega Saturn
Shit
games.
Shit, we want to try. Because it wouldn't be a bad idea to like make our own top 10, top 15 lists, and then play through our own personalized lists. But that also wouldn't take very long, I feel like, because we've done a lot of our own personal games. So
we could still do it. Nothing can stop us.
We'll do Earthbound again. That's fine. I'll do that.
We got all those coins still until we're out of coins. We can do whatever we want.
It's true.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I had a pretty good time today with you and Nicole.
I touched my beard. That's the signal to call.
No, it's funny because it's not the fact that you touched your beard. It's the way that you like whipped your head up.
It's like,
well, you had to get my attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that 98 degrees like look you gave me there.
You know, you like my Nick Lachey. Yeah. Zoolander has Blue Steel. I have the Nick Lachey. I've got the Howie from Backstreet Boys. My Chris Kirkpatrick. I'll keep naming boy band people.
Do it. Let's do it. I can't.
Can I name all the members of NSYNC?
Go for it.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
JC Chazay. Chris Kirkpatrick.
I only know Chris Kirkpatrick because of an Eminem lyric.
I'm trying to picture all the other guys.
You're missing out on the one that I had a huge crush on.
The gay one that also voiced Sephiroth.
Wait, what?
The guy who voices Sephiroth in Kingdom Hearts is...
Oh, it doesn't count then.
The guy from NSYNC. Blonde hair. Very tan.
I have a...
Guy Fieri. The missing member of NSYNC.
I had such a crush on him. I had posters of him all over
Guy
my walls.
Guy Fieri?
Man. When Nicole would slick one out to Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri, he does the schlick off instructions for girls. It's Guy Fieri telling you how to touch yourself.
No. That was my, I reached my threshold.
Dip your hands in my rock and ranch dressing and use that as your lubrication for your flower.
Have you guys seen the guy around Paducah that looks like Guy Fieri and like intentionally like dresses like him?
Yeah, Tyler does.
I work with him.
Did you? I used to see him around places like having dinner at like Steak and Shake or something. I'm like, shit, look, that guy looks like Guy Fieri.
And he's
wearing flames.
He wants to be Guy Fieri so bad. He wants to get the tattoo of like the skull with two cross chef knives and have culinary gangsters underneath. Like,
is that a thing that Guy Fieri has?
Yeah, he really has
something similar
that.
Like that.
I looked
yeah.
it up.
I don't think it says culinary gangsters, but I think he has the two cross.
No, dude.
Does he?
You continue this conversation. I'm going to do some research.
Jason hated this guy so much. Like, he essentially bullied him into quitting because, like, the guy, I mean, he's a nice guy, but, like, he's almost 50 and dressed.
So he's like the same age as Guy Fieri.
Yeah. So it was just like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to open my own taco truck and serve.
I wish somebody'd open
barbecue.
A food truck in Paducah, because that is, I think, a niche that needs to be filled.
I mean, they'd probably go broke pretty quick. But yeah, it would be cool.
It would, I mean.
I don't know. I mean, other than driving around downtown, I'm not sure where it could go.
I'm down. That's where I want it. I want it downtown. That's where I am. I'm downtown. I want them to drive downtown. Just park out in front of where I work, and I'll just come out every day.
I can bring you food. That's fine. Right. I'm not working right now, Nicole. I'll go get you Chick-fil-A and bring it over.
I do not know if this is his tattoo, but there is a photograph of a tattoo.
Oh, and what? Is that Clinton with a K? Yeah.
Allegedly, that's it. Like, I did a Google search for Guy Fieri tattoo.
Those aren't knives, though. Those are bones.
Well, I don't know. Hmm. Apparently this guy's taking his own original.
Because I remember he asked me who my favorite chef was, and I hate that question. I hate getting that fucking question.
Well, okay. It's really more like, who's your favorite chef personality? Because you haven't eaten anything that those people made, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who's your favorite TV personality is a better question.
I will say that I've been watching Good Eats, and Alton Brown is very entertaining.
Alton Brown is fantastic.
As shit.
He's yeah. fantastic. He's knowledgeable. Alton Brown is, yeah, he's it. He's the only one who, like, every one of his recipes, I trust, and I will watch all of Good Eats.
He makes me
want to
make tomato vodka. Like, I was like, shit, yeah, I can make tomato vodka.
Now, Alton Brown is so fucking... He does tours around, does live shows and shit like that. And the thing is, like, Alton Brown, he didn't start out being a chef. He started out working in TV, and none of the chefs...
Sorry, I had to interrupt this conversation with just a photograph on my iPad.
So that'll be, we'll put that, put mystery photograph yeah, on the, in the show notes. Oh, man. I had two things I was going to say. And I forgot.
You were going to say that Rachel Ray is your favorite TV chef, right?
Rachel Ray, one, will not say she's a chef. She knows she fucking lit up for that. So she's like, I'm not a chef, blah, blah, blah. But he asked me who my favorite chef was, and... I was like, I like Anthony Bourdain's show. He's like, man, you know who I like? Who?
No. Man,
guy, and he said, he wouldn't like, I say Guy Fieri. He was like, Guy Fieri. Fieri. I was like,
who's the Smurf that cooked all the shit? I liked that one.
He's like, man, there's that girl I really like. I can't remember her name, though. And I was like, okay. He's like, she looks like Guy Fieri.
Paula Deen?
Anne Burrell.
Paula Deen. I love it.
She's an old blonde yeah. lady.
I mean, she also looks like a lesbian.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit. I mean, I don't know. I was going to say something about Guy Fieri being racist, but I mean, come on, he probably is. Look at him.
Who's the member of NSYNC I forgot?
Lance Bass.
Lance Bass. There we go.
You're missing one.
The tall guy. No, that's Backstreet Boys. Mm-mm. Justin Timberlake, JC, Lance Bass, Chris Kirkpatrick.
Was there five?
There's another. Unless he's in another boy band. Unless I'm crossing my boy bands. Joey Fatone?
Oh, yeah.
You're right. Yeah, Joey Fat One. The one I identified with.
Yeah. I also do. He was on a podcast randomly that I listened to. He was on for two episodes. That dude is cool as shit.
Yeah, he was on Nick Arcade before he hit big with NSYNC. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to be impressed. You did NSYNC. If you can do 98 Degrees and Backstreet Boys, then I'll be impressed.
Nick Lachey for 98 Degrees. Backstreet Boys, like, I was... Oh, I appreciate Backstreet Boys. I did not like them as much.
You made the universal hand gesture for like fine wine. I appreciate.
The Backstreet Boys have a nice bouquet, but.
Tyler.
No, shit.
If you were to give this game, I don't know, a beard that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of beard would it be?
The beard of Poseidon.
A salty sea beard?
A salty sea beard, yep.
Okay. Why? Does that have anything to do with water? Or?
It's powerful because it's a good game, but also Poseidon is kind of a dick. So this game is also kind of a dick.
Fair.
Yeah.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, Tyler, what kind of glasses would you give it?
I'd have to give it the pane of glass in Lost whenever, spoilers, Charlie swims down and presses his hand against the glass and it says, not Penny's boat.
Right.
That terrible heart-wrenching moment.
Yep. I'd have to give it that.
Okay. Fine.
Because this game also wrenched my heart insanity so many times. And it's underwater. So... And a resort like Lost. It hits on a lot of levels. It hits on a lot of levels if you think about it. I want to see the crossover where Dharma goes to Delfino Island and sets shit up.
Dharma and Greg?
Yep. Yeah.
I got another question. This is for everybody here except for me. That question is, how much is this game on Amazon? What I would like to know is how much... you can find Super Mario Sunshine for the GameCube used on Amazon. Tyler, we'll start with you. How much do you think this game is?
$37.
$37. Nicole, how much do you think this game is on Amazon?
$33.
Ooh, man. Mm-hmm. Tactics. Actual retail value of Super Mario Sunshine used for the GameCube on Amazon at the time of this recording is $29.99. I'm sorry, you both won over. Usually I would claim Nicole to be the winner, but...
Nicole likes to stick to the rules, and the rules being that you go over.
Nobody wins.
Sorry.
Yeah, my experience in buying secondhand GameCube games is just like, they're going to be too fucking expensive. Because, man, I paid like $40 for a busted-ass copy of Wind Waker. And then it got released on Virtual Console. So I was not happy.
How much was it on Virtual Console? Like $15 or something like that?
It came with the version of the Wii U that I got. I got the Wii U Special HD Wind Waker. But gotcha. I remember the HD was like $40, right? You guys own it.
Mm-hmm, I don't remember.
It was money. It was money.
It cost money. Josh went and bought it and then came home.
Yeah, and then played it for 2 weeks or something. So are we going to do new? We usually do new just for fun.
You want to?
We usually do, right?
You want to? I mean, we can. We usually do. Yeah.
Well, I feel like we should. We usually do.
All right. Just for fun, guys. How much do you think this game is?
Because the other's a very serious game of stakes. Yeah.
Like nobody won the showcase because we both went over.
Yeah, it's a sad.
But whoever loses, we have to, we tie up out back and then whip with a cat of nine tails like the scene in Outlander that's heart-wrenching. There you go, Drew Rowland and Bailey Moore. There's your Outlander reference.
How much do you guys think this game is new on Amazon? Once again, this is Super Mario Sunshine we're talking about.
$76.
$76 from Tyler. What do you think?
$1.
What do you think, Nicole?
You said 76?
Mm-hmm.
77.
Actual retail value of Super Mario Sunshine new on Amazon at the time of this recording is $80. Nicole, you win.
Yes.
You win a date with Nick Lachey. Nicole, can you do me a favor? Can you say...
I thought you were going to ask her to scratch your back.
My back's real itchy, girl. I would love to hear you say, stay out of it, Nick Lachey.
Why?
I just want to hear you say it. I think it would be funny.
Is this something... Is this a thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a trap or anything.
tell me what this thing is.
It's just an innocent request.
Well, if say you meet Nick Lachey, mm-hmm. and then say you and Josh got in an argument, and Nick Lachey tries to interrupt you and resolve the conflict, but you don't want him to, you would have to say, stay out of it, Nick Lachey. That's the context. You're telling Nick Lachey to mind his own business.
I'm still confused. But I'll say it, I guess.
Okay. Oh, cool. I mean, this was a test. This was a friendship test.
How would you actually tell Nick Lachey to mind his own business in those words?
Stay out of it, Nick Lachey.
That was really good.
That was really good.
Okay, now tell me why I said that.
It's from The Soup.
The Soup?
Uh-huh. There's
on E? Yeah,
yes.
That Nick Lachey was in like a soap or like a...
No, it was
one of those bad WB had a guest shows.
On, yeah. Oh, like a soap opera, okay.
And like, yeah, he was
high on soap.
He's just in a bar, and like, he keeps butting in these people's business, and where the people are stay out of it, Nick Lachey.
Thank you, okay. Nicole.
You're welcome.
You passed the test.
Good.
Sorry that I had to actually issue a test, but I felt like it was necessary. Mm-hmm.
It's not often she'll go out on a limb like that if she doesn't understand what's going on.
I feel like Dave asked me to say it, and so I said it. I don't know if you asked me to say it if I would have said it.
That's totally fair. I don't blame you at all. It's like Shake's mom told him after Shake and I hang out. Yep. When we were little, his mom was like, Tyler, he always seems like he's up to something.
To be fair, you pretty mm-hmm, much are mm-hmm. always up to something.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. So you didn't miss the next episode, we'll be talking about Dorkly's 17th ranked
something like
N64
somewhere
game.
Like there.
Yeah. Rogue Squadron.
Mm-hmm.
We still love 5-star iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
We still lost that one, haven't gotten one back. So
it happens.
I mean, we like it. If you want to help us out, go and leave us a 5-star iTunes review, write a review. In that review, if there's a game you want us to play, like Mario Sunshine, that's where this comes from.
But don't do Mario Sunshine because we literally just
did it again.
Sunset Riders. If you
wanna, we'll do that again. We had 125 iTunes reviews by 3 weeks. We'll do Sunset Riders again.
That might actually be doable. I don't like this.
Well, if we're gonna have to make Zach make all these different, he goes to a job fair and gets like a ton of credit cards and gives us 20 more reviews, all saying Sunset Riders, Sunset Riders, Sunset Riders. Then we probably should.
Yeah, we owe it to him at that point.
Or there's a guest host you want, put that in there. Whatever you put in your 5-star iTunes review, we promise we will get to it. Eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about Rogues and the squadrons of which they are part of. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. It's where the show notes live. I promise you won't find Nick Lachey there. I mean, if you do, it's probably going to be in context to stay out of it, Nick Lachey. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be like a Tiger Beat kind of like thing.
I'm going to put up so many just links of Guy Fieri and different songs from boy bands. O-Town, shit you don't even remember. That would have been big.
Fucking O-Town.
Color Me Bad. A lot of Color Me Bad links going to be up there.
You know where else you can find us? You can find us on Facebook. Find us on Facebook.com/Tadpog.
We're going to change our picture to Nick Lachey. It's going to be great.
There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. You won't find me there between the hours of 8 and 5 because it's been blocked at my work. But, I mean, whatever, I guess. I'm not bitter about it or anything. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Tyler, we're normally making an episode post. That is the best place to let us know how you feel about this episode in particular, Super Mario Sunshine. And also who your favorite boy band is. I feel like that's probably a good thing mm-hmm. to ask you. Let us know. I think it defines a lot about you as a mm-hmm. person, who your favorite boy band is. We're on Twitter. You can find us at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who's retweeting us, especially our episode posts, because that, of course, may let other people know about our show who don't already know about it. I mean, maybe they want to hear about Yoshi giving instructions on how to climax. Maybe they do. Might not. Probably not. But maybe they do. You can call us if you want. Leave us a voicemail. Sometimes we play calls on this show. We actually try to make it a point to at least once a month do an all-call show. Call us at 270-883-2555. If you leave a voicemail, try to keep it under 3 minutes. We love questions. Any kind of questions, super, super personal questions for Tyler are really good.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Patreon. If you wanna throw us a little money, you can. That is the way to do it at patreon.com/tadpog. Heartfelt thanks for everybody who has already donated. We've mentioned this before, but I feel like it needs mentioning again. We recorded a second part of the Zork episode, and we're going to be releasing that to everybody who's donated whatever amount on Patreon. Doesn't matter. If you want that episode, send me an email at dave@tadpog.com and let me know that you want it, and let me know what
and the game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, trust me, you'll get it.
You tell Dave you want it. You send him an email, you let him know that you want it.
I mean, I'm okay with that. Like, Facebook is blocked. I don't know if I mentioned that. Facebook is blocked at work. So, like, if you want to send me, like, just some weird shit through email, that's fine. I'm cool with it. But let me know that you want the episode.
Phil just went, huh?
I think Tony just went, huh? Let me know that you want the episode, and let me know what your name is on Patreon. And we will hook you up as soon as that episode is out of the oven.
Yeah.
That's it, man. That's all I got.
Thanks for coming on, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.
Being our resident 3D Mario expert.
Thanks.
We've been spending a lot of time with you. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It feels good.
Good.
Nicole, our theme song, are you familiar with it?
I am. It's Moves by Sycamore Drive.
Do you know where we might be able to find that?
You can find a link to it in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Thank you. Thank you very much for qualifying our legal obligations to Sycamore Drive. Hey, you want to close it?
Have we done it like Mario before?
I don't think so.
Do you know how Mario sounds? Or are you trying to think, like, have we done it, or what would Mario sound like?
Yeah, like Mario doesn't...
He sounds like, woohoo!
He does on 64. It's a me, Mario. All that kind of, you know, really like racist Italian stuff. Or how do you want to close it out, Nicole?
Like Yoshi.
Infinitely harder. Okay. All right.
No?
I'm trying to think.
No, we don't say it. No.
You should know that about Dave and I. So until next time,
drop it.
Take it out. Stroke it real slow.
1 thing, I can name more boy band songs than I can like Beatles songs.
All right. I don't know that I can be your friend anymore. I'm sorry. I love you dearly, but we got to fix that.
I know.
There's your stinger.
We got to fucking fix that.